Yo, you hear that? Dedicated Magazine is having a Writer of the Year radical build-off, but guess what? The doors are closed. Last day. 46 contestants. Let's go and trip out. I just sent out my entry. 1962 Chevy Bel Air. Let's see what happens. I got 3 months to create something. All right? By the time you're hearing this, I'm going to get started. And we'll see about posting some sneak peeks, what I'm doing to this car. I'm pretty excited. And it's going to be awesome participating in this event. Dedicated Magazine, Scale Enthusiast out there. Stay tuned. Welcome to Scale Riders Podcast. And this is episode 88. Let's get right into it with my homie all the way in Florida. Stay safe out there. Dennis, we know the weather's been tripping, but let's go. Yo, what up, Dennis? How you doing?
Good, doing good.
That's dope. Dude, it's been a minute. The last episode you were on was number 47. It's a long time.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yo, for real, I was looking at the dates and I was going like, man, it's been a minute since we have Dennis back on. And I was like, I want to see what he's been up to. Huh. No, it's been cool. So what model cars have you been working on?
Well, right now, what I'm working on is a Monte Carlo and a Liberty Walk GTR. That's what I'm working on right now. Trying to get those done for Atlanta.
The Acme show?
Yeah.
That's dope. How many times have you gone to that one?
I think I've been going like maybe 6 years in a row.
And How would you compare that show to like NNL East?
I don't know. I've never been to NNL East, but I know it's bigger. Like, you know, it's bigger from what I was told from a lot of people. Like, I'm trying to go to NNL East, but I haven't made it up there yet. But heard it's a little bit bigger. But then the Acme show in Atlanta, it's pretty big when people come to see it. Like, you know, it's in a small gymnasium, but it's full of vendors. And the car show and everything is like right there in the thing, and the tables get packed pretty fast, you know. So like, what I do is I always pay the early bird admission so I can get in there with the vendors and set my car up, and I don't have to come in at regular time to set my car up. And then I tried that before, and man, I put my car in there. I almost couldn't see where it was because there were so many cars there. I was like, man, nobody's gonna even see my car.
Yeah, damn, that's crazy. So it gets filled up real fast.
Yeah, it gets filled up real fast. You know, a lot of people come in there, just different categories, and everybody's like, some people bring like 10 cars or more, and there's a lot of people come in and put their stuff down, and then you know, it's like no room on the table, nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Dang, that's crazy. I miss that feeling, like when you go to these big shows. You know, when you're prepping for it, like you like spend so much time on your car, right? But then it's like the night before and now it's ready to put things away. It's ready to pack up and you know, you're just like, all right, tomorrow's the big day and I got to get up early. But you're going to sleep like all late at night. And just waking up in that morning, you know, it's almost like I have trouble sleeping, thinking about it, like almost like if it's like first day of school. And then once you're like, all right, it's time to hit up that show and you get there, it just feels nice. Like waking up, being ready, already on the road, showing up, and little by little, you start running into people that you know.
Yeah.
It's a cool feeling right there.
Yeah, it's cool, but I hate it. I hate the night before. Cause I always, every year, I think only 1 year I went, my car was done before I went there. Every year I go, I'm working on my model to 3-4 o'clock in the morning. I got to get right back up at 7 o'clock and I hate it. I'm like, I'm not going to do this next year. You know, you're stressing out, you know, and then, you know, like, you know, before you know it, like the show is already here. And you're like, oh, you think you got plenty of time. I'm like, oh, I can do that. That's not going to take long. You know, I'm going to do this and do that. And next, you know, the show is here. And you're like, uh-oh. So I'm going to do this much. I'm going to bring all this stuff with me. and I'm gonna work on it in the hotel room for the, you know, show. And I did that last year with the 57, and it was like, you know, you think things are gonna work out, but then they don't work out, or they start fighting you when you're trying to put the model together. And that was happening with the 57. So even though I brought it out, it wasn't all the way done. So I still had some stuff I needed to do it, but it was presentable, you know, for the show. And I was like, man, but I hate it. But it is fun, you know. You get up in the morning. I get a little nervous sometimes, you know. But then you start running into people, you know, like you said. And like I stop and get some coffee. I'm like, all right, ready to go, you know. So I got everything, all the stuff up, you know. Like, I got, I'm missing anything. I hope somebody brought something, so I forgot something. So, you know, you get that kind of feeling. But then once you start hanging out, talking to everybody, then you feel better.
Yeah, that's true. The last NNLS show, there was like some final things I needed to add to the Hudson Hornet. And I remember when I pulled up and I met up with the guys, like I chilled with them for a little bit, but then I had to separate myself real quick, like for like maybe like 30 minutes or an hour. I had to go back to the room because I had to, the whole time during my mind, all I kept thinking about was the things I needed to add to the car, the final touches, and I needed to clean it because I kept touching it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, let me go do that. So while I was doing that, it was cool. I was kicking it with George. Even Luis came over, Jeffries came over. Like a lot of the guys were in there kicking it for a bit. So it was kind of nice because I was able to talk to them while I was doing my thing. But then it was like, after a little bit, they were probably like, oh, he's busy, I'll let him do his thing. And they left and they went to the other room where they're hanging out with the rest of the guys. And now I started to think like, man, I missed out on something. I need to hurry up, you know? But it's always that thing, like last minute, little things start falling apart, things come off, and you got to be ready with that glue.
Yeah, you got to have your emergency backup kit ready.
Yeah, dude, it's nuts. At that Acme show, do people also like present like concept models or more like models that aren't even done yet, you know, like they're custom or they're just in the primer stage?
Yeah, there's like one table, like the back half of it, like near the, because there's like a stage in this like place. This is weird. It's like a community center, but it's like a, I want to say it's a gymnasium, but it's not. I don't know, because there's a gymnasium on the other side of the building that they actually play basketball in. And there's a table that you can set up all your stuff, like in work. I think it's like in works or stuff like that. And a lot of people bring their stuff that they're working on still, and they get to set it up there. So it's actually in the show also. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people could be like, oh man, look at this, man. I'll see this one when it's done and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool to see that stuff too. Because I remember walking by a table and there was this Ford truck and it wasn't done yet. Like, it didn't even have the interior or a chassis at all. It was just the body. And the guy just kind of propped up the wheels inside the wheel wells. Yeah. Just so you can kind of walk around the car and stare at it. He had it already. You could tell all the modifications were done. It was primered in white. And it looked really clean. Like, super clean. And he had a photograph next to the model kind of to show that he was replicating that car. And it just, I was there for a minute just staring at it, you know? And it's just one of those things that I'm hoping that by next year we'll see the next stage of that car, whether it's maybe just painted or maybe it's still the same primer, but now you're starting to see the development of like of an interior or the chassis and everything being laid out. So those are also pretty neat, like seeing all that stuff right there. You're planning on coming out, right, for next year?
The NNL West?
Yeah.
You know what? That's in the works now. I think I'm going to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
Take that trip out there, you know, and catch up with some people, catch up with you, and meet some of the other people that I didn't get to meet when I was out there last time that... I should be at that show, so yeah, I should be out there.
Yeah, that should be a fun one right there, dude. I think that's going to be pretty cool. I'm hoping on that one, I'll be able to get more footage, video, And I do want to conduct some live interviews with people that are there in attendance. Yeah. That's what I'm also looking forward to. I want to do something different compared to, I feel like this last show is taking more, I was recording video and taking lots of photos. But now I feel like I need to do something more to, like, interacting with people at that show. Yeah. I was going to ask you, how are those, remember you had painted some wheels or like the rings to some wheels, or you had sent me some pictures of a while back?
Oh yeah, yeah.
How's that going with that?
Well, we're still in work in progress because I messed them up. Well, one of them's still good. I messed up the other three, but I stripped them down. I just gotta repaint them. But they're going good. They're going pretty DPR, so I think they're gonna be good. They're gonna stand out pretty good. Hopefully, that's my expectation.
Mm-hmm. Damn, what happened? You ended up, like, scratching the paint or something?
No. I went to put another coat on there, but for some reason, I said, let me lower the air pressure in there. But I don't know what it did, because it made the paint spider web for some reason. I was like, what the? I was like, So I did three of them, but I didn't do one. So one of them got scared, and I was like, man. So it was, like, no going back over it, because it's spider web. So I was like, I got to put this in a dunk tank and strip them down so I can repaint them again. So...
Mm-hmm. What kind of paint were you using for that?
I'm using, I think it's called Fastic Lacquer.
Oh, okay. So it was like pretty easy to come off once you dunked it in?
Yeah, put it in there. Most of it came off. Some of it didn't come off, so I left it in there a little bit longer. But like, I was looking at it, I was like, okay. You know, there's like, you know how it is even when you dunk a car. Some pieces or some patches stay on for some reason longer than the other patches. And you know, you gotta go down. You know, you're like, what the heck? I thought they said as soon as you put it in there, it's all gonna come off. And it doesn't. Like, most of it comes off, but not all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I stripped the car once. I'm not even sure what kind of paint the guy used at the time. It might have been enamel, but that came off really fast with the purple power. But yeah. I've dunked other cars like House of Color paint and some Tamiya lacquer, and it took for it, dude. Like, it never even came off really. Like, I still had to sand that thing down.
I had a dually back in the days, one of my start out things. I got into it, and I think I painted that thing four different times. I never primed. I just went straight over it with a different color. Now it's back in the days when people did stuff like that. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna clean it with some brake fluid. Man, I think that thing's been in there for months, and I think it only got one layer of paint on.
Yeah.
I was like, forget this. I threw the whole thing away, and when I found another dually kit, I was like, man, I'm not even gonna waste my time.
Yeah, one of my homies one time gave me a bunch of parts from some kits he had built back then. When he went out to Japan, he brought them back, and he just had these just sitting in his storage. And he was curious, like, do you think that purple power brake fluid will, you know, break this all down and come off? And I'm like, I don't know. Let's find out. And we tossed a bunch of his pieces and parts into, like, a plastic tub, and we left it there. And it might have been there for, dude, about a month. And that stuff was barely breaking through it. And we had a brush, too, that we were using that was a little bit, more aggressive than like a toothbrush. The bristles were a lot stronger, and it still, like, it wouldn't come off. It took a while.
Yeah, it's crazy. People swear by it, and you know, they talk about brake fluid. I don't like how brake fluid feels, and then when it's on a model, I think I'm like, it's gonna mess the model up. And everybody's like, nah, I'm not gonna mess it up. You just clean it with the soap water. I say, yeah, but isn't that stuff gonna soak into it? You know, and I always get scared. So I only did that once. And then, but the purple power, I think I did some parts, or I did a car, and it, like I said, it didn't even all come off. I had to scrub that thing like crazy. And it just got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm going to have to sand the rest of this stuff down and make it work, because it wouldn't come off. Mm-hmm. You know, some people say use Easy Off. Like, there's a different kind of Easy Off. I think it's the one in the yellow tanner, but I've seen using this shit. Come off real quick. You know, it just gets scary, because you know, people say things, and you know, they work well, this works, and then you try and it don't work, and you might mess them all up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's like, get kind of scared, like, I don't know, I think I'm going to leave it this way and try to really find a way to get the paint off.
No, yeah. And what are your plans? You know, while everyone's listening to, when this comes out, it's going to be Labor Day weekend. So what are your plans?
My plans are going to be jacked. So there's a Gundam build day this weekend, and there's a model show the next day. But by the time this comes out, everybody's sitting here, but we have a tropical storm coming, and it's supposed to come right on Labor Day. Or on Sunday, between Sunday and Monday, it's supposed to hit. But over here, I guess like any kind of news outlet, they always exaggerate stuff. You know, and I just get tired here, and I was like, oh, man, they ain't gonna do nothing. But they might cancel the Marvel show if that's on a Sunday. And then on Monday, I don't even know what I'm gonna do, you know. Like, some people cook out, which nobody's gonna be cooking out because it's gonna be raining. It's gonna be swimming.
Yeah, dang. Have you ever experienced anything like really dramatic out there with the rain, with these hurricanes?
A couple of times the hurricanes came straight through Orlando. But for me, my dad was in the Air Force, and I used to live overseas. So, you know, over there, it's a typhoon. It's not called a hurricane, it's called a typhoon. And I've been through that, and they've been first of the ones that I ever experienced over here. And, you know, so when it rains hard over here, I was like, God, this is nothing.
You're like, yeah, so, you've seen the worst.
I've seen some bad stuff, man, or I don't know. I didn't think it was bad. You know, when you were a kid, you know, like nothing. The only thing that was kind of sucky was power go off. And you know, we sit in the dark, nobody knows what to do. You only can play board games for so long before you go crazy.
Yeah. So everything comes back. That's crazy. Well, I hope it goes by faster. Nothing, you know, nothing happens. So this way those shows can happen.
They were kind of forecasting going up to Georgia or North Carolina, but now all of a sudden it's like, oh, it might go straight through Central Florida, go on to the Gulf of Mexico. I'm like,
dang, that's crazy. I'm gonna have to check. I normally go out on Twitter where I see like most news on stuff, but I haven't been checking on like weather or like as far as like what's going on out there. But I'm gonna have to look that up. So the Gundam event, the build day, that's on a Saturday?
Yes, a Saturday. Once a month on a Saturday.
That's dope. And it's an indoor?
Yes.
That's going to be fun, man. I bet. Are you planning on taking something, or are you just going to like maybe purchase something there in the store to build?
I think I'm going to bring two kits that I have. Build one because it's a small SD kit, something easy. And I just bring the other one for looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool. Just post up right there.
Yeah.
At that store, do they still sell a lot of model cars, or would you say they carry kind of like a balance between the cars and Gundam figures?
Well, right now the Gundam models are outselling everything. But like, it's funny because one side is the Gundam stuff, and you just walk directly behind that, and that's all the car model stuff right there. And you know, they keep it good stocked up. Now they actually got more, but, you know, since Rebel is not out, you get stuff trickling in. But I see now he's getting a lot of, what is his name now? Misha, whatever.
In Mobius?
The Japanese kid. Yeah.
Oh, Aoshima?
Yeah, Aoshima. I always get that mixed up. Whatever. He's starting to carry more of those kits now, too. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, those are fun, those kits. I love the box artwork. And then, you know, once you open those up, you're just like, oh, heck yeah, I can't wait to build this. And then you open it and there's like no engine in there. It's just like the body and like the wheels and the chassis in the interior. Yeah, you're like, all right.
I don't even, I'm doing a Liberty Walk DCR and there's no motor, period. But it's weird because it has all the stuff in there. I'm like, why is no motor? But you got to find, like, there was this guy I used to follow on Facebook, and he made the motors for those kits, the whole interior tub and everything for the motor. And I haven't seen him in a while. I guess he got tired of sending you pictures. He won't want to get them. I'll soon get them.
Yeah. Do you always find people on more on Facebook that are creating and selling resin pieces?
Well, I think, you know how, like, if you hit up a page, you look at a page, and all of a sudden it'll say, it'll give you references to other people and stuff like that. Or, you know, you'll like the picture, and then, you know, you get a hit back from them people like to like their page, you like the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll find stuff like that, or just going through the low stuff on there. You know, you'll see somebody post something to somebody else, and you go look on that page, and like, oh man, that's pretty cool. And you either like it or, you know, request them and stuff like that. And then, you know, it's like, it goes from there, you know, starting yeah. from stuff, finding stuff here and there.
No, yeah. You know what's, what I've been kind of tripping out on is the amount of information that is out there, but more visually with pictures. Because I know that, like, a lot, you know, most of the people that listen to this podcast are on Instagram. And a lot of you guys message me, we interact and stuff, and sometimes I get sent pictures, DMs, like, check this out. And, you know, and it starts to become like a back and forth, like, oh, now check this out. And even, you know, with you and myself, you know, things that we're interested in, if I come across something, I'm always like, oh, like, let me show this to Dennis. Maybe he'll get a kick out of this, or I don't know if you've seen this before. And then you do the same, and we keep sending each other back images. But what I trip out on is that there's so many images, so many things out there that it can take up to like a day or so to try to look through everything, you know, like comfortably.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so much stuff. Sometimes I think I'm looking at the same thing over and over again because so many things, like, did I already look at this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not sure, like, wait, no, nah, that's different. Or, you know, you click on the one picture when you're searching something, and then under that, all kind of similar things pop up, and
yeah.
you're like, man, it just keeps going and going, and to the point where you're tired, you're like, I can't, I gotta look at something different now. You gotta find a different picture and look at something
yeah.
else.
Yeah, yeah, or you're just like, you keep brushing your finger against your phone, just passing pictures, passing them, like, almost like it's your camera roll, you know? Yeah, it's crazy, because I remember, too, when going like towards like the scene of music, when you found out that you could produce your own music in your house, like in your bedroom, and export the files and compile and make a mini album or whatever and put it on the internet, it was like, oh my God, you know, now I can share this with everybody. So then the music scene changed. Before, you had to wait like once a year for an album from an artist, or twice, you know, it took a long time for something to be put out.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, dude, people were dropping things every month, like 20 new albums. And then next month, like, it just, the numbers kept climbing up and up. So monthly to weekly and almost to daily. And I remember like being like, dude, I'm downloading so much music every day. I don't even have time to even listen to it because it's too much. And if you didn't keep up with it, you were going to lose out like on like opportunities of downloading like the newest stuff. And I kind of feel like that's what's happening too with like images. Like you can, there's so many images with like Loiter cars, you know, Gundam stuff, model cars, dioramas. It's so big. And sometimes it's like you don't have time to look at it all. You know, that trips me out.
Yeah, it's crazy because it's just like how phone used to be back in the days, like when a cell phone came out. It was like a new phone maybe every 3 years or whatever. Now they come out back to back, you know, like, oh, look, the iPhone 25, and next month 26 is out. You're like, I just got the 25, you know, and
yep.
It's like to keep up the pictures and everything. It's so much information now, which is good because, you know, now you can see things, and rather than like back in the days, you know, you had to wait for a while to see it. But then it's also overwhelming because it's so much stuff. You know, like, you got to take a whole week off to look at a few things because it's so much stuff. Like you said, music, it's like you download, and music takes longer to listen to because it's not like 1 minute is done. You know, it might be a 5-10 minute song or a couple minutes, and, you know, And next, you know, you listen to a couple of songs, like, damn, what? Damn, it's been an hour later, you know, and you only feel like you listen to a couple of songs. And, but, you know, I guess it's a good and bad with the stuff, you know.
Yeah, it just depends, like, how you go about it, whether you're using your time wisely, or you're just, like, all day on it and wasting, like, when you could be working or doing something, you know?
Yeah.
And
that's the catch right there, man.
Yeah, it's, like, one of the things I do appreciate and what I do like when I go online is when I start to research something that I'm looking for. Like, if I'm looking for a particular component or a particular thing, you know, now on the search engines, there's so much information that pops up for it. And not only can you read on it, but you can also now, like, you know, you can view videos on somebody using it or a testimonial on it, you know, tutorial. Like, there's so much stuff. Before, it almost felt like you always, like, hit a wall with some info. And you would
there's
be
a wall called the magazine. That's what it was. It was a magazine. Looking there step by step pictures, and you're like, you know, like everybody talks about it, you know, like, well, where's this step at in between these two steps, or how did they get there? Or they could have showed a little bit more, you know, of that stuff. And then now you can watch the whole video of somebody doing, like, oh, that's how they did it. You know, there's so much, you know, stuff out there. Like, say you research it, and you can find somebody did it or something like that. You just type in what you're looking for, and somebody already did it, and it helps you out, you know, reference stuff, or you want to know how to fix it, or you ran into a problem doing that particular thing. Look online, and, hey, I had this problem too. This is what I did to fix it. You're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Instead of you trying to figure it out yourself and ruining whatever you're doing because you don't, you know, like, hey, what the heck, I'm not supposed to do this.
Yeah. It's crazy too with even like, with in the Gundam world, where you see these like master builders who are customizing the figures, and things that pop out is like all those panel lines that they create on the model. And at first, like, even for myself coming new to it, I assumed that that's how the kit came. Like, all those little lines are there already. And then I started to see some figures out of box that it didn't have all those lines. Like, it was very minimal on what it had. And it wasn't until you started shedding more light on it, telling me, like, oh, look, check this out, check this out. And the more I started paying attention to it, I was like, holy crap, that's like another art form right there. And, dude, and now it's like, we've, like, when you look that stuff up and I look it up too, We're finding so much stuff, info on that now. Like, what tools are using, what the methods they are. Like, you got these guys on YouTube doing it. And then those books that we bought too, the panel lining books. So,
yep.
It's cool. Like, there's a lot of info. And then, well, the images too that we find on some of the hashtags, it's like, those are all the inspirational images, so you can get an idea when you get stuck trying to create like a panel line. And it's cool. Like, and going back to how you said, you know, it's either a good thing or a bad thing. And I guess to weigh in on the bad thing, there's times that, like, I'm guilty of it, where I come home and I want to look something up. Right. And I look it up, but I'm chilling with my lady, or I'm chilling with friends or whatever. But then I catch myself, like, going down a rabbit hole, like looking stuff up on my phone, when I should be, you know, just kind of having it aside and just be like more living the moment right there with who I am with. And does that happen to you?
I happen to me all the time, man. I come home and I'm like, I'm gonna look up one thing. Next, you know, you're looking at a video on YouTube and it has the stuff on suggested on the side, or you click on your own page and it has all stuff recommended to you and all that. You're like, oh man, there's like tons of stuff you want to look like. I want to look at this video. I want to look at this video. Next, you know it, 5 hours have gone by or something like that. You're up there, like, one more video, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, oh man, one more 5 minute video, and that goes, and it's one more. and you do it, you know, and it's crazy, you know, like it's a good thing and a bad thing. You just gotta learn how to limit yourself, which none of us are gonna be able to do because it's just too addictive. And, you know, like we're talking about guns and stuff and the panel mining and all that. You know, it's fun stuff, and a lot of people who probably listen to podcasts, like, hey, what are they talking about? This? Like, some people know, some people don't, and they're like, ah, they might feel like they're too good or it's too childish to do this stuff, but, like, it goes back to me, like, you know, and some of the people in the past podcast talked about, you know, you have to go to a model store to see stuff out there, and not just the automotive one. A lot of ones I go to have everything, armor, airplanes, figures, Gundam, they have everything. You can see what's out there. Versus just cars, you know, everybody thinks it's just cars. Yeah, that might be a thing, but you know, these other people take just as much pride as we do doing our stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and you see some stuff, and you know, like you say, the master builder Gundam. You know, you look at some of these things, you're like, wow. You know, how long did it take me to do this? You know, this would be just like a showpiece car if I did it, because the time and effort they put into it, and you know, to come out like that, you know, it's just amazing. And, you know, some people can't get the shows because there's no show in the area. But, you know, they get us, you know, like I do sometimes, or a lot of people do, plan to go to a show somewhere else. You know, hey, this show's coming up. You know, they give you time. They'll tell you this show could be in this month. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, let me plan to hit that one show, save up money, bring my car out there. And it opens a lot of people's eyes. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. And I like a little bit of everything. So, you know, my take goes around, you know, I do model cars, but do Gundams, you know, I like a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's, I think like trying out other stuff that's also in the hobby realm is good, especially if you have like a builder's block where you're stuck or you're burned out. And you need to have that satisfaction of like completing something. Just so you could get that satisfaction knowing like, all right, cool. I built something, I got something done, within the time. And even like on Facebook, I had seen, Frank, he had posted a picture of, one of those, Schwinn bicycles. It's like those, model kits that just came out.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure the scale. It looks like it's a bigger scale, but
yeah, I think it's huge, man. It's like, let me look in the closet. I have that thing in my closet.
Oh, you got it? Nice. He posted something like, because he built it and it was done, and I saw a picture of it, and he was saying that, like, I guess he was having like builder's block or something, and he did that on the side. So I was like, oh, that's dope. When I saw that, I was like, that's cool. You know, he got something done, and now it's like back on the cars. Even myself, I was feeling it. I did mention it on one of the bonus episodes where I was just like burned out. I was just like, man, I'm not even like, there's just so much going on that it leaves me with no time or I'm too tired. But it was crazy because like this last weekend, and I recorded videos on this. It's on YouTube if you guys want to check it out if you have not yet. But over the weekend, Armando hit me up and was like, hey, we're going to, you know, link up and go to this hobby store. It's close to your house if you want to come meet up. And I was like, yeah, sure. So it was in the early morning. I had time, headed over there. And I had been to this store before, the Smith Brothers. And I was just, you know, I wanted to like hang out with the guys, but also was just like anybody, you know, you're curious, like, oh, well, what's in here? You know, I haven't been here in a while, so maybe things have changed. And they were selling model kit cars. And from what I've heard is that there was a model builder who, I'm not sure what his age was, but for many years, he had been purchasing like two models a week. And I'm not sure if he was in his 50s or his 60s, but he'd been like a collector and a model builder for so long, and he passed away. So, you know, little by little, they're just like selling stuff. And like, I saw the models, but I, in my mind, I kind of didn't see anything that caught my eye, you know, that I was like, I want to get into that. Oh, I want to dive into that. Because all I kept thinking was like, right now I'm in this burned out stage. I feel like I'm, I have no time, you know, like how am I going to buy another, like more cars that I know in my head, I probably won't even work on when I already have another list of cars that I need to complete. And finally, there was this 53 Ford Victoria that caught my eye, and I wasn't going to get it. But then once I opened it and looked at the body visually, I already started to see what I wanted to do to this car. And at the same time, I just was like, well, that'll be one less kit that they need to sell. And I guess it's supporting, you know, them trying to get rid of these cars. And at the same time, this was a kit that was already opened out of its box. All the pieces were there, but just knowing that this car belonged to someone at some point and he opened it, he probably had some ideas that he wanted to do to this car, and then it like didn't happen. So it's almost like I kind of take it as like the torch being passed, and now it's like my chance to bring life to this car and have it out there. But I don't know. We'll see. Ever since I got the car, I've been on it, dude, like doing body work and just doing videos for YouTube. So thanks to this thing, it's like it's brought me back again.
Yeah.
Did you find the bike?
The bike is the 1/6 scale.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that thing is huge.
Put it next to the model car. Dang, that's huge.
Yeah. Before they re-released it again, Oppenheimer just released it. I had found it in a model store. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine said, oh, yeah, they have that bike up there. And I was like, they do? So I went down there, and it was weird because they had two kits. One was open and one wasn't. And, you know, they didn't have a lot of lowrider stuff, so I said, yeah, they probably don't know what they got. But they knew what they had because that thing was expensive.
Yeah, they're like, we know.
Yeah, they're like, you can't get these no more. They start explaining to me everything. I was like, wow. They caught me on guard, man. I thought I was going to be slick and coming in and grab it up, you know, for nothing. And they knew exactly what it was. And I was like, okay.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, I don't know, like, I want some new guys to look at the pictures online of them doing stuff. It's good that they're pumping stuff out left and right. That's good. You know, but, like, for me and you, like you said, you get burnt out, or I take too long to do a model because I want it to come out perfect or really, really good. So, you know, we stress each other out. You know, you stress yourself out trying to bring new cars out because, you know what you can do when, you know, you're trying to outdo yourself. That's what I try to do. I try to outdo myself. Mm-hmm. And you get stressed out. And, you know, me and you talk about the Gundams, and a lot of people who don't know anything about Gundams, and the thing about the kit is you can build that kit right out the box, no paint, nothing at all. It, you know, snaps together. Everything snaps together. So it's not like a model car where we got to glue stuff, you got to paint stuff. You can paint the Gundams if you want to go past that, but if you want to build it box, it's going to come out exactly the way it looks on the box. And now, a lot of people probably don't know that all the stuff snaps together. You don't have to use glue at all. Everything comes together just like that. And you get a real good model, which you can build in one day, depending on how big the model is you get. You know, and a lot of people don't know that. You know, like me and you know it, and some other people who might listen to this know it, but the majority of people don't know that you can put these things together really quick, and they still look really good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, this was pretty cool. You know, so they get burnt out. I get burnt out. I got like 100 different hobbies. I try to flip back and forth because I get burned out of one, I can go to the other one.
Yeah.
You know, or do something different. Or sometimes I get burned out on all of them. I'm like, man, I want to do nothing.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. I started thinking about that. Like, when was the last time I did nothing? You know, where I was like not thinking about anything, and as far as like hobby wise. And just, let's say, just going to work, coming home, and just chilling, not doing anything. You know, I feel like I don't even know when to even think that happened, you know?
Maybe. I think the only time that happens is when you're asleep and you're doing something when you're sleeping.
Man, I'm still thinking about it when I'm sleeping, you know? It's crazy. It's really crazy because, like these last, you know, few nights, I've been working on that car, and for the most part, I finish up, like a part for the video. And last night I did part 9 to this, like, I guess it's like a little series or something I got going on the YouTube channel. And I stopped and I was like, all right, it's time to go to sleep. And fell asleep. But before I was falling asleep, I was already thinking, like, what I need to do next to the car. And now I'm at the point where I need to chop the car. The roof?
Yeah.
It needs to come down. All right. As far as, like, body modifications, like, everything's already... I feel like I did it backwards. Normally, I'll chop the roof first, and then I'll do the rest. But for the purpose of the video, I don't know. For some reason, I just did it this other way. And I need to go in there and take care of that. But at the same time, I want to record the process from beginning to end. This way, I've never chopped this kind of a car, but this way people can see how I get caught up on this, you know, whether if I execute it or I don't, but then I find a way to get out of it, you know, how to fix it. So either way, I'll have a video.
Yeah, man. It's crazy because, like I was thinking also, like, if you want to build models or whatever, you know, we have so many kits. Like, I would have to not have a job. I'll have to be working on my model kits full time to get anything done really quick, you know, because you think about it, you're like, yeah, I work. Like, man, if I was at home, I could do this right now. I could do this, the car, and I'll be done. But you don't have that time. You're like, well, when I get home, I'm going to do this. Man, I work all day. And I think about, you know, I don't think about building models all day, but it starts crossing my mind. I'm like, okay, when I get home, I'm going to do this. But you're so tired when you get home, you don't want to do nothing. Like, you know, it might be the simplest thing to do on a model. You get home, you eat, you sit down, you take a shower, whatever. And you know, you're like, man, I don't plan to do anything. But I'll watch some videos on YouTube.
Yeah, that's the next step. And that's also like one of the things I like about the YouTube, having that outlet to put content out there, because it's helped me out whenever I want to, like back then when I wanted to learn about how to do the hoppers, you know, there was someone out there, this Dre One Only, that was his channel, and it's still active, and he was putting out tutorials, so that helped a lot. But then later, you know, you start going through other people's channels, just surfing around, and it gets you through those burnout stages, or when you don't want to do nothing, you start watching them doing their thing and seeing their process. And then it makes you curious, like, oh, I want to try that.
Yeah, it gets you motivated. It gets you a little amped up, like, okay, I need to go buy this part. Well, you did this way, okay. And you go back and look at your car, and like, oh, that's what I did wrong. You know, and you try it this way. And, you know, it's good, man. Cause I tell a lot of people, man, they're trying to figure out something. If I can't explain it to them, go to YouTube and type it in, and it's going to pop up. You know, somebody is doing it. You know, and then it's going to be more than one person doing it. So you have, you know, a bunch of different people to watch what they're doing, and very informational, you know, to help out. And that's a good thing. You know, bad thing, because then you'll keep watching, then you only want to do your own stuff.
For real. I wish there was a way where like you can, like, the videos is one thing where people can watch from everywhere, but if it would be dope if everybody, like a build day, you know, everyone comes together and let's say almost like a class, you know, you want to, you know, everyone starts off the same kit and you're going to show them this, how you do this on this particular car, and then you do it and you have everyone do it. You know, and if
you know, like,
they run into problems, you're there to, like, help them real quick to get out of that problem.
Or you're talking to someone like that. Like, a lot of times when I do go to these model contests and I'm there, people always ask me how I did this. And I feel like I'm getting a tutorial thing because I explain it to them. I got pictures on my phone of how I did stuff, and I show it to them, and I show stuff on the car to them, you know, explain to them how to do it and everything. That's a cool thing, you know. Some people can be asses at the show, but a lot of times people are very friendly. You just, they might look crazy, but as soon as you start talking to them, you know, ask them a question, is this your car, blah, 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 how'd you do this? They'll tell you everything. Or they might have something done on their car, you're like, wow, I don't know how they did that. So you find out who did the car, you ask them. You know, people, you know, some people just think that you go to show, everybody stuck up or something like that. A lot of nice people at the show, and that's how I met a lot of people, you know. Just like how I hit you up when I first met you. I just randomly found your page on Instagram. I was like, wow, I'm gonna send him some pictures and ask him. I you know, I told you, I think I have what it takes to be on your page and all that. You know, and bam, now that, like, super good friends, man. Best friends. Just really good friends. You know, and people need to venture out more and, you know, go to contests. Not everybody can do contests, but it's fun. Even if you don't even bring a model, you can go, because then it's going to get you amped up to really want to come back. Next year, I'm bringing my car, or next contest, I'm going to bring my car. Mm-hmm. You know, because you get all amped up to seeing people do stuff and everything, you meet people. And then next you know, you might, you know, meet a bunch of different people. Next you know, you got more friends that you didn't have before that either live in your area or whatever, you never even knew they stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And next you know, you're getting hooked up and stuff like that. And I met a lot of people too, you know, one talking to one person, they introduce you to another person, and then they introduce someone different. And next you know so many people, and you're like, wow. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy, but it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, yeah. So, you start meeting a lot of people. It's a trip, man. Like, I start to think about, like, the different communities I've been a part of in the past, you know, up to now. And I remember back in the day, you know, the message boards was a thing. That was, like, always, like, the first stages of people being able to communicate and interact with each other. And I used to be in these other message boards for, like, music or art or, like, urban vinyl figures and stuff. And after a while, you know, you start talking with people and there's events, and next you know, you're hanging out at these events with these people, you know, and then they become your friends, and you spark some relationships from that. You know, it's all like small little underground things, and then later they grow bigger and bigger from there. And I still feel like the model car game scene is like pretty underground, but it's getting a lot of recognition. Like, it's starting.
I think it's like the lowrider stuff was more on the ground, because car stuff is big. You know, model car stuff is already big, but it's like lowriding is starting to make a presence felt in it. You know, or imports or trucks and stuff like that, starting to make more of it like a presence known, because, you know, like, like any car, there's always drag cars, there's always this kind of car, but like low riders, depending on you're out there, they're not even in existence at all. I might go to show no low rider at all, and they might have customs, but no low riders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just getting bigger and bigger now. More people are doing it now because there's more stuff out there, more tutorials, people are more open now. Not like back in the days where, you know, if I tell you this, I'm gonna have to kill you. You know, kind of stuff. Nobody wants to say anything. You know?
Yeah. Damn.
It's funny because, like, we were talking about music, and we were talking about it a little while ago. It made me remember something back in the days that PlayStation had MTV sound generator. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You could produce on there.
My friend used to make beats off that thing, man, and record beats, and he made some really good beats from that sound generator thing. It's so funny. You know, that you know, you're talking about that, and it just made me remember that.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I can't wait to come down. And he showed me the beats and everything. I was like, what? I don't want to buy that thing. I ain't make no beats, though.
Yeah, I feel like those were, like, those first programs at the time that it started to, they were making it more user-friendly. And and it was almost like they had to change it. Like, you don't need to be in a recording studio. You just need the software, have it in your laptop, and just, like, spend some time on it, figure it out, and next thing you know, you're making stuff off of it. Because I remember there was that game, and then later they came out with the software that everybody was going crazy over. It was called Fruity Loops.
Yeah.
To this day, people still use that like religiously, and some people became famous using that program. But at the time, people were like, "Nah, I don't want to use that. Like, it's not a good program." But it was, it still is. But there was so many other programs that they were releasing. But everybody was just trying to find their niche, you know.
Yeah.
I remember back then people would tell me, "Oh, you should use this program, Reason." All the hip-hop producers are using it. And I bought it and I used it. I didn't even like it. I couldn't even make a track with it. I was like, nah, I'm not feeling this. And then I started using this other program called Ableton. And that's the one I still use to this day. And I was like, man, this thing's so cool. Like, you can manipulate songs. You could do so much stuff. You could bend it like a rubber band. You could stretch it. You could do whatever with it, you know? And, And it's, but it's crazy, like seeing the evolution of all that to now, and even just reflecting on the models, like seeing how everybody's evolving and taking their take on their cars. Like if you look back at like a year ago or even 2 years ago in the past, and you start to kind of pay attention to all the new cars that have been released by everybody, there's a lot of cars that people have put out, new paint jobs, you know, radicals, or just different things that we're starting to see, customs, and it's exciting. Like, let's see what happens next year, or even, you know, the rest of this year, like what new cars are going to emerge into the scene.
Yeah, exactly. The thing that's cool is that, like you said, a year or 2 years back, I mean, there might have only been this many people making wheels. Now there's even more people making wheels, and everybody's, you know, getting better and better at it, you know, and there's more variety out there, you know. Mm-hmm. You might have folks, you got folks too, but just folks are better than this guy's, or, you know, everybody's, you know, just getting better and better, even making parts for the cars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Good versus, you know, some people are like, oh, you got to make your stuff. Hey, I can make stuff too, but if it's already made, or somebody made it and I need it, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get that part, because, you know, yeah, it's fun to make your own stuff, but then sometimes during crunch time, you don't no time to make stuff, and you know, like, well, I can order this and it'll be here in a couple of days, save me some time, or, you know, like, wow, I never thought about that. He made the part that I needed that I was thinking about, and this guy makes it. So, you know, you would order that, you know, and that's a good thing, because there's so much stuff coming out, people bringing stuff out. You know, parts like back in the day you could never find. You would have to make it yourself. So it's not going to look perfect, but now, you know, with 3D printing, a lot of stuff, everything can come out now, which is really good, because it's up in the game and modeling in general, not just in cars, but for military, for other stuff, you know, which is good, man, because it's like amping the game up. You know, you can get more stuff now instead of back in the days, like, you know, one person selling these rims, and the next, you know, they call for arm and leg, because it's the only person making them, and it takes them time to make it.
Yeah.
You know, now, like, we're making it, looks good. Like I said, you go, I'm going to get it from this guy, or I'm going to get it from this guy. There's so many people to pick from.
Yeah.
You know, which is good. You know, which is just helping modeling in general.
Mm-hmm. You know? It's like right now, I've been seeing a lot of stuff from Iceman Collections, like printing out new stuff, printing out stuff that he sees that people haven't made and that people would need or use for their dioramas or cars. And he's like on fire, you know, he's constantly cranking them out, and it's getting people excited. And at the same time, it's getting people excited as to, like, I want a 3D print too. I want to buy a printer. You know, I have some ideas. I want to print some stuff. And going back to like the music software that I was telling you about earlier, the same thing's going to happen with those 3D printer softwares. When those 3D printers come out in the market at first, they must have cost, like a machine must have cost thousands of dollars, $1,000, $2,000, right? Or more. Like when they came out, like back then. And people were like, oh, I don't want to mess with that. Now, I bet you anything, they're probably like 800, 500, maybe up to 200, you know? But the trick is always, like anything, there's a catch. It's the software. Do you know how to use the software? Do you know how to measure? Do you know how to do this? How to do that? At first, these programs make it so difficult that it makes you want to quit. It makes you not want to try. And it's the same thing like the early music programs. They were so hard and difficult. And maybe out of like 100 people, like 10 people were going to understand it and get it and go through it. And right 90, nah, I don't care. Whatever. I'll wait. So like that game that your friend was making the beats on, they simplified it, you know, because they needed to make those sales on that game. And it gave the person using the program to make the beats hope, like, oh, I know how to make beats now. Same thing's going to happen with this, is that the softwares are just going to keep getting easier and easier and easier, that it's going to get to the point in the future where it's going to get so easy that you're going to be able to get your phone, walk up to a car, a one-on-one scale car, and take a picture of the rim, upload it onto your program, and it's going to just copy it, compress it, whatever, and then you're going to be able to print it on your thing without even doing anything anymore, like measuring it or whatever. I mean, who knows? Maybe there are people are doing that. I haven't messed with the program, but I'm assuming that in the future, that could be happening.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that. Like, I go to like MegaCon. I go to MegaCon, comic book cosplay and all that stuff. And I think it was like a year or two ago, they were already doing something like that. I think last year, the first time I seen it, when you get in this booth and they'll scan your whole body and they'll 3D print a model of you. Wow. Right there on the spot.
That's crazy.
You know, you can get your own stuff made. And this year when I was there, he was actually talking to a lady. She was showing me all the stuff, you know, but the thing was that, I don't know if they did it right there on the spot, but I think they sent yours to you in the mail. But she had all the figures down there, and it makes it to scale too. They got a thing that can, there's different scales they can bring it down to. So like you're saying about the rims and all that, I'm sure they can do that now too. But this was like a thing that had like a 360 camera inside of it. So you stand in the middle, and I think there's a bunch of cameras around you, and it takes all these pictures, and bam, you have an instant 3D printed model of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and they pay to come back, and a lot of things. And some of these, I think, I don't know if they were painted or they come out like the resin or whatever, colored already. So it looks like, you know, like, wow, how did they make this of me, you know, in color?
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Maybe, who knows, maybe in the future, what's going to probably be a hybrid 3D printing machine is like if it's like, like you create, let's say, a body of a model or whatever, anything, any object, but it's like half that material for that's the 3D printer. I don't even know what kind of material that is, with like the like another type of resin and maybe something else. Like, so it speeds up the process even faster. I don't know. It's a trip that, because even at schools, like Luis Javier Cano, he went back to school. You know, all the kids are back at school now. And he's going to college and all that. And he sent me pictures. Yo, check it out. There's the engineering classes and all these other classes. They're showing you how to 3D print. Everybody's using the 3D printers at school now.
That's awesome.
And it's kind of like, damn, like, it makes you wish you could go back to school, you know, or something. Because even in high schools, they're showing them all this stuff. Because
yeah, it makes you wish that when you were in school, like they had that stuff. Like, man, how come they didn't have that back then?
I know. Dude, the only thing, I mean, when I was in school, the one thing they did have was Burly Internet Explorer when I was in junior high. And it's so weird that they were, you know, go to the library, and the only thing that my friend and myself would do was go on some website to look up Cypress Hill lyrics and print them out because we wanted to memorize the lyrics. And that was fun to us, is finding it, copying and pasting, hitting print, paying like what, 10 cents for the pages or 5 cents, and then going home with those in your folder. Like, that was cool. And it's like, man, it would have been dope to 3D print stuff, you know. And
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, the, you know, for sure, like, there's going to be more and more stuff being put out. But I feel like it's going to get to a point in the future where everybody's going to be printing their own thing. And it's just going to get to a point where everything's going to be available, you know? So if, and that's what's going to be pretty rad, because like going back to those Aoshima kits, if you buy a kit and it has no engine, there might be someone 3D printing that engine for that particular car. And that's going to be the competition, that versus the resin. You know?
Well, I think what is probably going to happen is, like, it's like people building models. You're going to have those standouts. So with people who 3D print, you have the people who stand out. You know, and those are the ones that are going to be, like, really up there. They're doing something. Mm-hmm. So everybody will have something, but then you're going to have the people who actually stand out, who their process is more refined than anybody else's and stuff like that. Everybody's doing something, but, like, this person just is like, damn. You know, like, wow.
It's like JPS Wheels stuff is, like, flawless. Like, his engines and the wheels. And it's like... The last thing I know, like, I don't really look into engines or anything, right? But he had some LS motors right there. And I met him through George, introduced me to him right there. And, you know, he was selling out of his stuff. And I was just like, you know what? That motor looks pretty cool. And it's not a bad price. I think it was like $9 or something, or 10. I'm not sure, but... All the pieces in the little baggie look super clean. And I picked it up and I was like, dude, this thing's pretty cool. You know? And yeah, going like to what you're saying, it's like, it's going to like depend who has what and to what like level or cleanliness it's at. So
yeah, people who stand by their craft and everything, because I can talk about his motors, like, first person I used to get motors from was Clearly Scale. And I had got his LS back in here and made a resin. That was like the best motor I've ever seen. You know, it's still good. I still have his motor that hasn't ever been used that I got, because I just seen it one day and I wrote him and I actually started talking with him. Like, most people don't talk to him. I actually started talking. He told me where he lived at and what he does and everything. I was like, wow. You know, he's a pretty cool guy. But right now he's having health problems with, like, I didn't know he had health problems, and then something happened, and he was talking about it. But, you know, just seeing his work, you know, and I was like, man, these things are so clean, because there were some other people making some LS motors, and I would see him at a show, and I'm like, man, what the heck is this? Mm. You know, I'm like, it just, like, they didn't really care. They're pumping them out. They didn't clean them up good, you know, and I'm like, you know, people, like, swear by this person, and I see the stuff. I'm like, man, this is terrible stuff, man. Like, one little pinhole in it and all that stuff, and like, Clearly Scale doesn't have that. And it's the same thing with JPS. Like, I met him a couple years ago, so me and him were good friends. And, you know, I got one of his motors, too. And I was like, I thought the motor came out of the kit. You know, that's how good it looked. I was like, man, this thing is really good. You know, flawless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have to spend, like, what I do is buy, you know, you buy a whole kit just his motor, or you can just buy his motor, you know. And you know, he takes pride in what he does.
Yeah.
And there's going to be those people who stand out. You know, there's going to be people who are going to pump stuff out. And they're still going to make money and, you know, do things that some people don't want to spend the money, you know, to get the stuff that looks right. You know, but there's always going to be people out there like, you know, I can make it, you know, it's not the best, but it, you know, it still looks good.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have people out there who, you know, like, why does this cost so much? And then until you get that product, you'll never know. Some people would complain about it, like, oh, man, I can't believe this stuff costs this much. And then, you know, not all his wheels cost that much, depending on what you get. You know, the wire wheels, they do cost a lot, but they are immaculate. You know, you have a set, I got a set, you know, I bought my friend a set, and then, you know, people, it's like, until you get his wheel, you just don't know what you got, you know. You look at him like, and there's other people who make some good wheels, too. I got Hank wheels, very good wheels, and it's like, I almost want to try everybody's wheels just to have a set of everybody's wheels, you know, to give everybody a shot, you know.
And yeah.
Like, oh, like this person's wheels or this person's wheels, you know.
Yeah.
And,
I wonder who's out there like, there has to be one person out there, a collector, that supports every person who has created something, whether it's like a tire, or you know, a rim, like accessories, anything. Yeah, anything. Like anything that's been created with resin, 3D printed. There has to be someone out there who has purchased one thing from everybody and like probably doesn't plan on using it on a model, but it's like they're holding on to it to like preserve a story or to preserve like who came out with what at what year, you know?
Yeah, that's not cool. Somebody was doing it. Yeah, you know, maybe somebody's out there doing it. Maybe not, or somebody might be doing it. Don't even realize they're doing it.
No, yeah. You know, like maybe just, someone listening. Kind of stuff and, yes, yeah, start like, looking oh, through man, your stuff. Because you might be yeah. like, oh man, I got JPS's wheels. You know, I got Hank's wheels. And then, oh, let me hit up Jeffrey's. I'm missing his, you know? You get his. You know, oh, you get wheels from different people. Now I have this collection going. And then you start thinking back to the 90s. Oh, I want to get a pair of, like, Armando's wheels and all this stuff. And I don't know. Next thing you know, maybe someone does have it in their collection already. You know, and they just don't realize it.
I bought these wheels so I was going to put it on something. And never use them. And then, you know, you dig into the stash because, you know, people are talking online. And you see stuff, and you're like, wait a second, I got a pair of those wheels. Don't worry, you know, you can dig in there. Or I got a pair of those pumps or, you know, something like that. Like, I have two complete setups from Showcase Hobbies, the old school Presto setups or whatever, and those things are nice. It's just like, I don't know what to put them in. So I have ideas of where I want to put them in, but, you know, the quality is so good on these things, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just got them. Like, when I was at that Cadillac Fest, that's when I bought them.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, wow. You know, really, really good work, man.
Yeah, that's tight. I always like when I go to shows and I buy all kinds of stuff or whatever I buy. I always love taking a group shot of all the things I bought. And I usually post it up. What's up?
If I trick or treat, I'm like, look at all the candy I got.
For real, it is. It's like you just can't wait to get home and lay it out and check it out. And, you know, take a picture of it, post it up. Time flies and then you go back. Start backtracking everything, and you start to see, oh dude, that's when I bought it, you know, that's when I got that.
I can remember this. Now I see it. This picture has the details, and now I see.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like, I can't wait for this weekend, man. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm gonna do. I got hit back from Happy Land.
Oh, yeah?
Neo Happy Land. Yeah, they hit me back. They said yes. Because remember I asked them if they'll hold that real grade Gundam figure for me?
You're like, hey, can you hold
me
like
that?
And you never
would
show up.
Yeah, I know, right? Nah, they hit me back. They said that they would. So I got to figure that out. I told them, I made the promise already. I said that I'll be there this weekend to pick it up. So...
Well, you know what? You gotta be like me, man. Like, when I know I'm gonna do something like that, I get up first thing in the morning and go do it. So that's over with. You know, like, I'm gonna go over there real quick, get this dude. Bam, that's all.
Get it done. Get in and get out.
You know, because sometimes, you know, you get over here and next you know you start doing something else. Or then, well, since I'm over here, you can go over here.
Yeah.
And next you know, you're like, the girl's like, where you at? I'm over here. I'll be home in a second.
I'm on the freeway. No.
Yeah, you're saying that. You're not even. Yeah, you're in the parking lot.
It's so funny. I get that at work. Like, I'll be helping out customers, and their phone starts ringing, and they're buying flowers for them, you know. And then they're just like, they don't want to ruin the surprise, so they're just like, oh, I'm on the freeway. I'm on the road. And next thing you know, you hear like the door chime, ding, ding, like some people walking in. I'm like, damn.
I'm in the horn, part of the horn next to me. Sound like a chime? Yeah, man, it's a new horn.
Yeah, I need to see what's up, because this Saturday is Ventura Nationals. It's like an annual custom car show that they do in the Ventura Fairgrounds, which is literally like the 10-15 minutes away from where I work. And I have to work, though. I have to work. So I'm thinking, all right, if I go to Ventura Nationals, I might have to stop by Ventura Nationals when I get out of work. It just depends what's going to go on that day. Unless, if I go to work later, if my dad tells me come in late, then heck yeah, in the morning, hit Ventura Nationals, check that out, balance, go to work. And then when I get off work, I can hit up Happy Land and be happy. I could hit that spot up and then come home, and I did it, you know, did a lot of things in one day. But if not, then Sunday is more promising. I can go on Sunday and pick that stuff up.
The only thing is, like, remember on Sunday that place closed early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to look at their hours.
That whole area closed down early, except the restaurants. That's the only thing that stays open. Everything else closed down.
Mm-hmm. I need to... It was so funny because, like, remember what we were saying, like, about the comments, like, after they posted that they got it, that they were saying, oh, we get it in on Thursday?
Yeah.
So... They reposted today saying, oh, we got it in today, actually. You know, like they got it in early. So people were like all excited, saying like, oh, that's dope, but it sucks you guys are closed on Wednesdays. I didn't know they were closed on Wednesdays.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, when you stayed open on Sundays, I was like, what? I think, like, that's like, when I went out there a couple times every time I go out there, we went out there on a Sunday, and it wasn't even that late, and everything was closed in town to town. I was like, what the heck? You know, only like restaurants and a couple of stores were still open, but everything seemed like it closed early. Like I don't know, like everybody closed now. Mm. You know, they all closed down one time, same time. You know, because I went to Happy Land, I was all mad. I was all happy going there. As soon as I got there and it was closed, I was like, no.
Yeah, damn. That sucks. Yeah, it sucks when that happens, you know?
Well, if it's closed on Wednesday, that's kind of good because that's like an off day. That's hump day. I ain't going there. You ain't off.
I know.
So, you know, Sunday, you know, weekends, sometimes is the only time anybody can go do anything. So that's good that they're open on the weekend and closed during the week, one day.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, because, I mean, we got the 3-day... Well, I still got to work Saturday, but I got Monday off, so that's cool right there. But I definitely want to go the weekend, and, I mean, I've already gave them my word that I was going to swing through. So I want to pick that up right there so that I get my hands on this thing. Because I think once they're out, they're going to be out for a while.
Yeah, I think everybody's trying to get that kit. Everybody's been scooping that kit up. I don't even know if we're getting it at my store. Pretty sure it'll pop up, though, but, you know.
Yeah, hopefully it does. That'd be pretty rad. And has there been other model kits that you're looking for, like new model kit, car kits?
You know what? There hasn't been anything. Like, I'm looking for older cars, like Caprices, but like cars, new things. It's like, you know, like I said, they need to start making new body styles or come out with like different cars that everybody wants, like. Like, there's a Resin Box 7. They need to make that a model. You know, there's the 94 Big Body. They need to make that a model. I know everything is, like, licensed and all that stuff, and it'll cost money, but these are things that will sell. It's not like they're going to throw something out there like that, the better or whatever it was they came out with in that other low-rider car they had. I'm like, why would you make things that nobody likes? Copies kits out with a license really cheap on it or something, you know, and they just need to bring out newer cars, or there's some old kits that they should bring back, you know, but they seem like they bring out all the old kits and it's just the same kit with a new box art, you know, and like, man, I already got 10 of those things, you know, but I'll get one more though.
Yeah. No, yeah, there hasn't really been anything that I'm like trying to get right now, because I just bought that one kit last week, you know, and if anything, all I keep thinking about is like downsizing my collection, whether by trading or I don't know if someone wants to get anything, but I just wish someone would just kind of link up, you know, like if it's in person, it'd be kind of cooler. But I don't know. It's just like, I know there's a lot of kits I have that I have no desires or plans on even building them. There's other ones that I'm like about, like, oh, heck yeah, I'm excited about these. But these ones, not so much. And these are early kits that I bought in the beginning when I was kind of just like caught up like on collecting all the different kits that were out. So I don't know. I just got to see on the collection, like the direction that's going to go.
Yeah, that's what I kind of do. Like anything I got is that's because I wanted that particular model or I was going to build it. Then I wouldn't buy anything else that I didn't want. You know, I think I got a couple kits that I have that I probably won't do them with, but for the most part, everything I have is something I want to build. And I only have, like, I think the Caddy models is the ones I have the most of. And then, like, I got 264, like, newer 64 models, like, brand new. And it's weird because, you know, it came out and then it came out again, different box. And so I got two of those brand new, never, I think I opened up one just to look inside of it. Mm-hmm. And, like, anything I got is something I want to build, but I didn't get a lot of them. It's like, unless I actually built my 57s and the 58s, like, I built all those, so I have a lot of those. Mm-hmm. But anything else, like, I won't buy random kits. You know, like, I'm going to get them. Back in the days, like you were doing, I did do that too, though.
Yeah, wow, dude.
This is a low rider. This is going to be a low rider. And then next thing, like, just still sitting in the box.
Yeah, that's what's funny. That was a mentality. Like, oh, I'm going to low ride this. I'm going to low ride this. Like, everything. You know, it got to a point where I was buying up so many kits, like collecting so many of them, that I was almost like, oh, I already have all the ones I like that are on the shelf. And then I would tell my friend, he would go with me, I'd be like, hey, what do you think about the semi? Do you go look cool on with some Daytons? And he'd be like, damn, you're trying to lure hit everything. But then that's when I was nah, I need to stop. Like, I already got all the Impalas and everything that I need.
Yeah, that's like, I look at a car, you know, back then, you're like, that's a low rider. It's going to be a low rider. Well, I'm going to make a low rider of this. And now I look at stuff like, nope, okay, that'll work. Nah, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to work. And I got to stop myself from getting stuff, like, you know, from getting too many of things. And, like even where I've done them kits, man, I got so many kits, it's crazy. But, like, I like them all. You know, the good thing about our buying a demo kit is that we only buy one of that kit.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, like, I got three R7s, or I got three of these, or you might get three of them, but they're different versions.
Yeah, that's true.
Not like mm-hmm. all of them. You get a 64, the same version every time you buy it.
Yeah, it's like nonstop. Like, you're like, oh, like 164 ain't enough. You need to have like four or five of those in your stash.
Exactly. Like, when they first came out, the 64 from Ravel, that was, like, the best 64, because it was so detailed and everything. And it was in a bigger box. Now, the other versions after that, the same car, but now they're in that smaller box. Like, when it first came out, it was, like, the lowrider in that bigger box. Like, you know, it had a nice picture and all that stuff on it. Now it's, like, the small one where one's the lowrider, and the newest one is just that yellow 64 looks like a banana.
Mm-hmm.
Up on there, and it's the same car. I don't think it has the pumps and the low rider wheels in it, but it's the same exact car.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, same car. You take it out, nothing different. Like, when it came out, that new Escalade that had the ESD on the cover, you know, was misleading. They had a little bit of different stuff in it, which I was surprised, you know, like a little bit better stuff, or they tuned it, or they made it look a little cleaner. I was good about that. But other than that, like, you know, that's one thing that needs to be done in the model industry altogether anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, the import kits, they bring out the crazy stuff, the good stuff. But Revell or AMT, no. You know, they need to, like, bring out something new. They'll pop out every once in a while something new. But they need to do that more often because, you know, you need to revitalize what's going on. You know, you want to go to model show, I'm like, dang, man, there's like 1,500 64 balls sitting on the table. You know, they might all be different colors, but it's the same damn car.
Yeah.
Bring out some new stuff. Mm-hmm. Mobius is doing that, bringing out some of the trucks that's really good, and they're really detailed and nice trucks.
Yeah, I like those Fords. Like
the other company needs to follow suit and do some stuff like that, because, they're bringing out, those trucks. They're selling like hotcakes. They're nice trucks. You can do them any kind of way, Ford Rod, mini truck, custom, whatever. It looks so good, but I don't know what's up with Red Bells. And, I was talking to the guy from Model Round. I think it's, Model Roundup. He does release. They talk about the releases and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they're coming up with it. I told him, man, you guys need to repop those Caprices and something like that, bring them out. That's where your money's going to go, because everybody's going to buy these cars. It's not like they're going to sit around on the shelf and gather dust and Hobby Lobby or something like that. The thing's going to be sold out. Like Cadillac. When Cadillac comes out, they're sold out.
Yeah, that's a hot one right there, the Caddies.
To bring out something new, stop bringing out something new. It's the same car, just got new box art. I think that's what it needs to be done. Just like I was talking about the 3D printing. That stuff is going, that's going by leaps and bounds. So it's like kind of catching up the car, the modeling, but packing it up at the same time. Because they want to sit here and man, we used to drive this tractor in 1932, there's nothing wrong with it. No, we need to change it. Both the time. It's a lot of stuff. Bring out some more trucks. Bring out some 4 or 5 pickups, some new ones. There's a lot of things out there now. They can pop out but it's all about licensing and money. Everybody wants money, 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 money. I think they were saying back in the days malls were cheap because they had to pay these licensing fees and all that. Now they want licensing fees for everything, from tires to this. If you're gonna use their name kind of tires, they want money for this, and that's why model prices have gone up so much, and it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. No, heck yeah, everyone's trying to get paid. It's like you go to the movies, you watch a movie, and only the movie producers, if they have a big budget, you'll hear classic rock songs and stuff like that, or a Prince song or something that they had a lot of money to pay the licensing to use that song in their movie. If they don't have the budget, you're going to be listening to some generic music. Or you might hear hip
hop with someone else in it.
Yeah, or you're going to hear let's say some hip hop beats, and they might be dope from an up and comer that they took advantage of, that they didn't know anything. And they're just we're going to bank off. We don't even got to pay them. Just invite them to the premiere and that's it. pay his valet parking and we're cool. Yeah. And it's like, nah. But let's say someone who knows what's up. Nah, they're going to be playing some generic music in these movies. Sometimes it happens. I notice it when I hear it. I'm like, oh, nah, this is leftover beats or music that they're using in this film. But whenever a song, you watch a Quentin Tarantino film and you hear something recognizable because of an era, his latest film that he just did, I was like, oh, man, dang, he really paid some money for sure for all this music, because these are all recognizable songs that you hear. But yeah, dude, it's everyone, if they're going to use the wheels, everything, they all have to get paid with the licensing.
And people are getting kind of greedy, and that's what's kind of killing the model industry. Cause it's weird, because I'm pretty sure they're going to do that when they make airplanes or tanks. Hey, man, I made those tracks. I need some money for making those military tracks, or, this is my, whatever. We need money from that gun. Because, military models always kind of cost a lot, but they've always been more detailed also than cars.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy when you start looking into it, because, I mean, if you're buying Chevy Impala and you want to build it box stock, and you want it to have all those parts that the way it was sold when it was driven off the lot, even with the tires. And that's what the companies try to give you, but it's they got to get licensing for that. And it's I don't think they're going to go in there and give you like some wheels, some like 4x4 wheels on an Impala, you know, like something random. And they have a budget that they have to work with, but it gets tough. Yeah. That like, like what? I remember even like in one of the, like some of the previous episodes, Joe Altered Works talked about that. He was saying about like the NASCAR model kits, how a lot of those, since they come with all those little decals, like on the real NASCARs, all the sponsorships, it's like you would have to pay licensing to all those little, you know, those little decals to have on that car.
Yeah, have to pay for that. Yeah. And everybody like, hey, they're selling these kits. And it's kind of sad because it's not like we were selling those kits for arm and leg back then either. You know, they were cheap. Yeah. But a model kit is $10, you know. Now you go buy that same kit, it's like $30. I'm like, you know, what the hell just happened here?
Yeah. I feel like, well, I mean, in the future, probably like in another like 10, 20 years, the models are going to be costing like, kind of like what a Galaxy model kit was costing. Like $40 to $50.
Yeah.
Like as far hopefully as like new detail stuff. Yeah. Like new stuff, but maybe I'm sure the secondary market's always gonna be around like the model shows, like getting deals, like $10, $5, $20, like just getting rid of models that we're just kind of holding on to at the moment. You know, but yeah, it's a trip. When you start looking at everything, like right now we're having like right now is a good time, you know, to build models, to just be in a hobby in general.
It is.
It's there's a lot of exciting things coming out. Everyone's like on their A game, killing it, coming out with stuff. You're getting to see someone who's new stepping in and catapulting to another level within months. And then all of a sudden they start bringing something to the table. Because they're so excited and they're just fueled by, you know, all this inspiration, and it's really tight to see that, and then everyone, dude, even the Hot Wheeler dudes, you know, we look up those cars and those fools are killing it like crazy with those little cars.
Yeah, they're starting to look even more realer than the models.
Yeah,
like, how do you do that with these guys? You know, I watch some videos and they show me how they do that, and I'm like, wow, it's a little diecast, but it's almost like they're doing it in a model. It's not like some of the people I see post up online, like, oh, I just finished this model. I'm looking at it, like, it's a diecast. You know, what do they do? They just threw some wheels on it. You didn't finish nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they like, oh, this model, because, you know, a lot of times you could tell, like, a diecast. Well, like, some people, I don't know, maybe they're new to the game, they don't know what a diecast is when it's looking off hand, but when you see when they pop the hood and you see how that hinges that hold the hood in, or when the doors are open, you tell it straight away diecast, you know. And like they didn't really do too much. They might add some stuff on that, but when you look at some of these Hot Wheels, and man, they like went to town on these things, man. I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, especially for being that size, that small size, you know, to do some stuff like that.
Yeah,
this is amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it makes you want to try it. I like when like the Hot Wheels is like metal, but then they start adding styrene to it.
Yeah,
I like seeing that, those little stages, how they're sanding, and then they start adding little bits of styrene, giving it more character. I don't know, just something about seeing plastic being connected with the metal. And then they primer it, and then you don't even know.
Yeah, I've seen some guys doing, like, making these wide body kits. And I'm like, you know, they use a piece of the can to do the wheel wells, and then once they put the body putty or fill or whatever on there, they pull a piece of the can out. Now you got, like, a wide body thing, and all you have to do is scan it down, you know, to the right size line. And I'm like, man, that's crazy. I would have never thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
I see it, you know, you see it's all... You know, like when I see the image on YouTube, it's already painted and done. You click on it, then they show you how they did it. I'm like, wow, that's pretty tight. You know, they did a really good job on that. You know, thinking that ingenuity, to sit there and think how they could do that for something so small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's amazing. It's pretty fun. I can't wait for this weekend. Like, honestly, I'm hoping that work is chill, goes by kind of fast, and I think by Friday I'll know what's gonna be the agenda, whether if I go in later in the day or in the morning. But I'm hoping I can at least step foot at the Ventura Fairgrounds to see some custom cars, you know.
Is that like a big show, or is it like?
Yeah, I would say it's a pretty big show that they do there, because a lot of people do come from a lot of areas, and I know the guys from Dead End are going to be there. Shout out to them. They're making the drive from Salinas, so I'm hoping that you know, if I have some time, that I can go there, say what's up to them too, see how they've been, because I know they come out. And I mean, it's been a while. Well, March was like the last time I was out there and at their shop in Salinas, you know. And I'm hoping next year NNL, you know, if everything goes cool, goes to plan, going up north, you know, it's like I want to do the rounds, like hit up some spots, visit some people.
That road trip, man.
It's like, you know, I wanna hit up, you know, Dead End. I wanna hit up New Type, the NNL West, and whatever's out there up north. You know, add it to the journey.
Exactly. Yep. It's good to like want to go to the car show though, because that's another place to get a break too. Mm-hmm. You see things and everything. Like, oh man, you know, I thought of that in my mind. And it's crazy that somebody has a real car and like that, or something similar to what I want to do. And that's the good thing about going to car shows. Like, I take pictures too, because sometimes, like, I want to have motor fits in the car. And, you know, you can look it up online, but if you take a picture, it's right there in your phone or wherever. You can look at it instantly. So you get a lot of ideas and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to take some photos and all that. And if I do come out, I'll probably bring my phone and a microphone, might record some stuff too while I'm there. we'll see what happens. Is there anybody out there you want to shout out, Dennis, before we go?
If I shout out to everybody out there in this building, just holding it down out there, whether you be big or small, whatever the game, man, you know, keeping us alive and, you know, keeping the podcast going, because, you know, people out there building, it's inspiration for everybody. So I just gotta shout out everybody who's listening, you know, and everybody out there who's building. Nobody in particular, no, everybody, you know, we all gotta give a shout out to you. You know, you're bringing it to the people to hear. So, you know, shout out to you. But then,
well, thanks.
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to everybody, you know. Like I said, whether you're good or bad at building, you know, you're out there doing it, you know, holding it down. So shout out to everybody out there.
Oh, heck yeah. That's what's up. Yeah, and everyone listening to this, you know, this is your weekend. If you do have the time, just, you know, don't stress out and work on your models if you can. And if you're not working on anything, if you're kind of on the boat that I was in of just like, like you're stuck, maybe, you know, pay a visit to your hobby shop. Start looking at other stuff that's in there that can potentially be another project that you might start, or you might even want to meet up with some friends that are in your area that model build. You might just need to hang out and maybe build some stuff together, get everything going right there. But yeah, shout out to everybody listening to the show, and stay tuned for the weekly podcast episodes here on the Scale Riders podcast. This is episode number 88. Thank you, Dennis, for taking the time and doing this with me and being back a guest again on the show.
Definitely, man. It's good. It's always good talking, chatting, man. You know.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Fun talking, getting out there, getting stories out there for the masses here, and you know, funny stuff or just stuff that they might never knew. You know, now they know.
They
might, you know, we might get a whole bunch of people doing Gundam models now.
Yeah, well, Gundam special. All right, on.
Right there.
Cool. All right, Dennis. Well, I'll let you go. I'm gonna I know it's pretty late out there where you're at on the other side of the country. But thanks again. Thanks, and I'll we'll stay in touch. I'll hit you up later.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, you have a good night.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, peace.